requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, Appeal 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published on the bulletin board in the Borough Hall and published in the Star Gazette, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. If you would all please rise and join me in saluting the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First up, we have some proclamations.
Roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry, roll call.
Are you out here?
You're in a half, you think I get this right.
I'm here.
Theony.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Doyle.
Here. Okay. Now, first up on our agenda, we have some proclamations. One for Mary Finnegan and one for Mr. Hackney. Is Mr. Hackney here? Good, okay. I'll come down here and read them and present them to you. Mr. Hackney, why don't you come on up here? We'll start off with you. This is a proclamation of the Borough of Washington, whereas Dave Hackney has been a borough resident for many years, and whereas over the last 4 years, Dave has been an integral part of Washington Borough Youth Baseball by coordinating and expanding the scope of youth baseball, and whereas through his volunteer efforts, he has been instrumental in the installation of a batting cage and shed, as well as repairing the field grading issues at Steinhardt Field, and whereas he has created Washington Borough Youth Baseball Opening Day Ceremonies, which is an event enjoyed by all participants and their families, and whereas during his involvement he has served as a coach and mentor to sports-minded children within the borough, now therefore be it proclaimed by Scott McDonald, Mayor of the Borough of Washington in the County of Warren, State of New Jersey, that the appreciation of the Mayor and Council and all of its inhabitants are hereby expressed to Dave Hackney is recognized for countless hours of volunteer work to improve the quality of life for families within the borough. Be it further proclaimed that this proclamation be duly embossed, signed by the Mayor, publicly presented to Dave Hackney on June 15, 2010, and forever recorded in the official records of the Borough of Washington as an everlasting tribute to Dave Hackney by an appreciative and thankful community. Presented on 15th day of June 2010. Okay, another proclamation of the Borough of Washington. Whereas Mary Finnegan, through the Warren Hills Regional High School Youth Club, has created the Washington Community Garden Association, and whereas the association seeks to promote, create, and maintain community and home gardens, and to encourage residents to better their community through recreational fulfillment and the community pride and unity that results from community gardening, and whereas the association encourages outdoor recreation, intergenerational cooperation among residents, knowledge about sustainable agriculture, better health among participants, and pride in our local community. And whereas, additionally, the Community Garden Association seeks individuals and organizations who will grow vegetables that can be distributed through the local food banks. And whereas Mary has been instrumental in transforming an open parcel of land into a beautiful community garden to be enjoyed by residents for generations to come. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed, Scott McDonald, Mayor of the Borough of Washington in the County of Warren, State of New Jersey, that the heartfelt appreciation of the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Washington and all its inhabitants are hereby expressed that Mary Finnegan is recognized for her countless hours of volunteer work to improve the quality of life for families within the borough. Be it further proclaimed, this proclamation be duly embossed, signed by the Mayor, publicly presented to Mary Finnegan on June 15, 2010, and forever recorded into the official records of the Borough of Washington as an everlasting tribute to Mary Finnegan by an appreciative and thankful community. Presented on the 15th day of June, 2010. Ms. Finnegan has asked to say a few words, so we will give her the floor for a moment.
I would like to thank you all for having me here tonight to accept this honor on behalf of the Washington Community Garden. Without the Council's permission and cooperation, the garden would not be a reality today. The Council and all of Washington should be proud of a project that has changed so many lives locally and that has truly transformed a community. This garden is a direct result of the immense generosity and truly admirable work ethic found only in a community like Washington. So thank you, Council, and thank you, Washington, for coming together as one to make this garden possible.
That being done, that takes us to the minutes. The minutes of the regular meeting that is May 18th.
I'll move the minutes.
Okay, is there any discussion?
Just the one comment around council remarks. I had spoken to you about the proclamation for Mr. Hackney.
Okay. And I had one on page 3 under the statements for Krausers. We have Mr. stated and we neglected to put his last name in. I think we need to put that in. But it's in there and that happened twice in that paragraph. Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain. I wasn't there.
Any opposed? I'll need to abstain too, Mayor.
And we have 2 abstentions. Correspondence. We have a request from the residents of Harding Drive for a block party through Dawn Higgins. I don't see Mrs. Higgins here at the moment. Is there somebody else here who had any comments they would like to make on that?
Off the cuff. My name is Tom Mason, 114 Harding Drive. I'm surprised Dawn's not here tonight. She knocked on my door the other day and said, "Tom, you're on the block party committee." That's fun.
You were volunteered, huh?
Yeah, I was volunteered. That's normal for me. What we had planned on doing was blocking off Harding Drive from the corner of Presidential down to the corner of Flower. We talked to a couple people who usually go out on Sundays, and they said, that's fine with us. You know, we'll either leave before, or if you make room for us, we'll go after. And I was kind of thinking about it. We don't just want anybody from Harding Drive there. We would like to have the whole neighborhood come in, right? Flower Avenue, down Presidential. Anybody who feels like having a good time, bring the hot dogs, the hamburgers. It's a big BYOB, but there's no booze served.
That is bring your own buns.
Right. Bring your own buns. And that's on July 24th, I believe.
Okay.
28th? Yes.
28th.
Okay.
The letter says
28th. What happens when you volunteer?
I'll move the request, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Is there a second to the request?
Second.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Any objections? Any abstentions?
Aye.
You need to discuss your garbage collection costs here? And I guess we could accept a motion to receive and file the rest of the correspondence?
So moved.
Okay, any discussion?
Mayor, just real quickly. Richard, was this a phone conversation or did they have something in writing from these companies?
It's verbal.
This is verbal?
Verbal from all of them.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, at this point I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests that is not otherwise on the agenda. Just come on up to the podium, give your name and address for the record. Sorry, Sandy, you got beat.
You want to go first, Sandy?
I like you have to sit in the bathroom.
You can if you want.
Some more comfortable here.
Bob DeLelba, full financial really, but 86 West Stewart Street in Washington, New Jersey. I've been up here before. I come up with a little bit of a, concern and apprehension, and not so much about speaking publicly to you, but more that I speak clearly to you, and that what I say comes across in a manner of cooperation and doesn't further to split let's say, some decisions that have been made recently. We had come, as you know, I'm involved in the Concerned Citizens for Accountability in Borough. We had been talking about accountability since November. We have come here, we filled the room several times. I think you know our concerns in terms of accountability. We're calling for accountability because of several reasons, especially financial reasons, and the inability to explain in written form where certain monies and how certain monies are transferred. Deficits, our most recent of which was pointed out in terms of a rec commission, $60,000, $300,000 on a sewer, $3 million on a garage. There's a lot of financial accountability that we still don't have clear records of. And our concern is not so much what has happened in the past, but that it's continuing to happen right now. If we don't know where the bleeding occurred, and we don't get an x-ray, we still don't know where the bleeding is occurring. We are going to create and recreate the same mistakes until we discover what they are. We have a 28-cent increase that's proposed because of our past debt and decisions that we have made. 2 cents on top of that was going to be designated for the 5-year forensic audit. Integrity is part of accountability, and it's more of a complete honoring of one's word. Accountability goes beyond just the finances, and it goes beyond just the final decision. It starts way back when with a mindset. We, as citizens, came here starting in November, and the biggest complaint I used to hear about from council is that we don't know what people think. Nobody's here. The room's empty. No one shows up. Well, we've come and we've expressed our opinions strongly several times, okay? And I believe at this point they go ignored. In the winter, the council had voted to put $100,000 in the budget for a 5-year forensic audit. Back in April and May, it went out for bid. 8 or 9 bidders came back in, 2 or 3 of which were below the monies that were allotted for it. That was a council vote. Last meeting, I pressed people individually about what would it take before you make a decision on combining services. And one of the things that, and the reasons I pressed that, is that we're concerned that all facts be presented prior to decisions being made. Each individual person on the council did say that that was the case. I want to hear all the facts before any decisions being made in terms of combining services. That goes for anything in terms of the council decisions, I believe. You represent the public. The public did express its opinion. Obviously, it's your job and responsibility to gather the facts to make an intelligent decision. After voting for putting it on the budget, after voting for going out to bid, 3 of you voted last week or last meeting not to hear the 3 lowest bidders publicly. That, to me and to the citizens, is an absurdity. If you go to bid, you ask for it to be in the budget, and then you vote not to publicly hear it, I cannot come up with a reason, nor in my discussions with a number of people over the last several weeks, other reasons than just, and please, I accept my apology on this, but we cannot surmise anything except ignorance, arrogance, or fear. The people have spoken about wanting to get accountability so we don't recreate mistakes. You voted twice to get it on the budget, to get it, go out and get bids, and then you voted not to hear them. That makes no sense.
If I may interject,
please.
One thing there, Mr. DeLevo. Although, you know, your group has come to the council meetings and given their opinion on it, I know that I personally have heard opinions from other individuals of the opposite opinion. So I just want you to be aware, although they have not appeared before council and made their opinions known, they have done it in a more private manner.
Well, and as a responsible council member, you should be collecting opinions because you want to know you represent
right.
the public.
And I just wanted to make you aware that that was that
And
was
I appreciate
done.
That. And I appreciate it. I don't know how many of you collected in opposition on that opinion, but by far we have seen numerous expressions of we want accountability. We ask for it in the council. Council can't seem to produce it because of the difficulties we've heard changing on systems. We've heard it again and again and again. And unfortunately, if we can't do it internally, then that's a problem. Then maybe we need to do it externally so we know where we're making our mistakes. It's not so much, and we've reiterated this a dozen times, but people seem to be persistent on their interpretation. It is not going after anyone. It is not going after any particular person. It is to make sure we are not creating the same errors that got us into this kind of mess before, because we can't seem to explain it, at least not to the public satisfaction. That vote last time made absolutely no sense. It wasn't a matter of we're voting to do it. It wasn't a matter of we're voting, yes, we're going to pick this. It was a matter of to listen to the three lowest bidders. I have no idea the rationale behind that.
I can give you my rationale.
Please.
When I first, and I've said this time and time again, and I'll repeat it. When I first came on council, I was for a forensic audit. After the state came in and audited us, after we had the audit done here, things were found out what was being done wrong, I was okay with that. My thing is, I do not think that all the taxpayers should pay for the forensic audit. If a group wants to have the forensic audit, then raise the money privately and get it. I have said this since, again, 2 months after I've been on here. I still do not think the taxpayers should pay for it.
Mr. Valentine, last week you did not, or last meeting you did not vote to pass it or not. You voted just not even to publicly
well,
hear the
exactly.
lowest bidders.
Why would I?
Because
want
you had just said 20 minutes before that you ought to gather all the facts before you make an intelligent decision.
And I gathered all the facts, but I figured that could help me make an intelligent decision.
Okay.
And the facts for me are: if you want the audit, get it done, but the taxpayers should not pay for it.
Well, I beg to differ with you. The taxpayers want to pay for it.
Not from the taxpayers I've been talking to. And all of you are not all the taxpayers here.
No, but how many? Do we have a collective?
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. DeLelba has the floor.
Do we have to go around?
Mr. DeLelba has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Do we have to go around and prove to you that the majority are going to back this idea?
Yeah,
is that what
idea,
you're waiting
yeah.
for?
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, you're voting to pay 28 cents for vast mistakes and past errors that we've made that gotten us into debt. But you refuse to even look and find out why, how, and where we've gotten there.
As I said when I started this, from the two audits that we had, I was satisfied with what was presented there, and I was satisfied with what we were doing as a council to stop things. And again, if you want the forensic audit, if you want to do it as a private group, yes, I do not think that it should come out of the tax base, but the tax base being as high as it is already.
And so, in other words, finding the reason why the tax base is so high is not as important as just paying off bad
from mistakes. The audits that we had, the
can you explain
that, the truth that we had, I think that we know pretty much where we have to go and what we have to
Mr.
do.
Mr. Valentine, can you explain the two audits? Do you know what they audited?
From what we had here presented to us, mm-hmm. what the advice we've been given by, again, by what's come out of our chairman's office, I really do believe that we are on the right path. And again, like I said, if a special interest wants to do a forensic audit, then you can go ahead and do
you
it.
You said, Mr. Valentine, you have researched it. Do you know what the two audits audited?
I know the percentage of what was audited in there.
Which is?
And I believe that if the state comes out and says that there was no malfeasance, that there was mismanagement, and that it was interfund lending that led to these problems, that's what I understood from the audits, and that's what I understand we have stopped doing.
But what was audited?
I just told you the information that I had that proved to me that we were on the right track.
You still haven't told me what was audited. In terms of the
I
percentage,
you,
Mr. Mayor,
that
point of order.
No
this is not a time for debate. This is an audience comment period, so it's not really a debate period. I'd like that point of order made.
Okay.
We will not debate. I'm just responding to your question. And the point being, at this point, we do not, That was a specific audit, as all of you have said, for a specific area. It pointed out 17 errors, 10 of which, Mr. Fallon said, have been being addressed. We haven't seen it in writing yet, totally, but there's some that are being worked on. That was a specific one area with 17 things coming back. That was by no means a complete audit to find out where money, how transfers, and what errors we are making currently. I know you've said again and again you want it to be paid privately, but we're still paying for other errors. We'll find out what citizens and what citizens are not in favor of an audit. But I suggest that maybe we need to take a look seriously at what the population wants. And no matter how much we fill this room, you can dismiss the population. I find that not acceptable.
Mr. Zell, it's my understanding that the Concerned Citizens Group is circulating a petition asking us to consider, to reconsider the forensic audit. Is that correct?
Oh, we are that's one of the items we're doing. We're circulating a petition. I've also I've come to appeal to the three gentlemen that voted no against it, because the way our form of government is structured.
Well, I think your
I'm sorry.
Your petition is a good way to go. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you have a majority of voting citizens on there, yeah, you know, we will.
I know that's one way to go.
That's one of the points.
I'm also bringing up in terms of a structure of our government that it would take the three men that voted down the petition to bring it back up again. If the citizens are saying, and other people can come up in an orderly fashion and express to you their opinion. I'm just giving you mine as a concise gathering of a number of people that I've talked to, and it's a lot more than you'd think. There was a couple of other concerns I wanted to bring up real quickly.
Please.
Okay. One was, there was a gentleman that appeared before us last time, Raj, for the Krausers. He came in claiming discrimination and basically asked for help. Your response, Mr. Fallon, was one of strong response and said, I will definitely take care of this issue. This is another situation where we feel we're just getting kind of lip service. The gentleman did come to you afterwards to try to get some help, late as it may have been, and you gave him misinformation. Unfortunately, that just does nothing but confirm the direction the gentleman is going, which puts us all at jeopardy. It's really important, I think, for what you say and what is done to be consistent. It doesn't serve us at all in terms of credibility when things like this go on. And the last thing that I wanted to bring up that was expressed to me, and other people can speak on these issues, I wanted to commend you, Mr. McDonald, that you had allowed the public to speak during the meetings up until two meetings ago. I think it's important for the public to feel that they have a voice and not be shut down here, okay? Whether we shut down by discourtesy or we're shut down by policy, whether we hide behind Robert's Rules of Orders, all of you have the authority of how this meeting is conducted, and if you will or will not hear public opinion, that is up to you. And I implore upon your good faith to continue to hear the public throughout, in an orderly fashion, the meeting. Thank you.
I will do what I can in that regard, and under the guise of Robert Rules.
Thank you.
Good evening. Sandy Cerami, Washington Borough Business Improvement District, 21 Belvedere Avenue. I just wanted to update everyone and let you all know that on Thursday we would be going to the state DEP in Trenton to meet with the director to apply for the hazardous discharge site remediation grant to address the environmental concerns at the park. Previously I had come before council. You had all voted in support of the park. But with the condition that we address the environmental concerns. So I'm just reiterating that we are out addressing the environmental concerns and asking for council's support. When I say support, I mean for the mission, not money, no cash. We understand that there is no cash. The bid is not We are totally 100% aware, and we are prepared to undertake the project either on our own or through grants. So we're not asking for support in that fashion, just for the support for us to go ahead and apply for the grant. So that is on Thursday at 1 p.m.
Sandy, do you know what the turnaround time is from the time you meet the director to potential one way or the other? I mean, is that sort of an informal application there, or do you get the approval, then do the application? What's the timeline look like for?
I think that we will need to have some type of indication from that meeting for the grant application, and all of the stuff that we're doing is very intensive and costly. So we were really going to need a good indication. We should have a good indication at the close of the meeting. So, and I will come back in 2 weeks and report to all of you on where we stand.
Or an email would be fine also.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sandy, where are all the monies coming from for the expenses you've incurred so far?
Any legal fees that we have incurred so far have really come out of our direct bid budget, out of the bid budget itself, from our own internal sources. And they have definitely been costly. So, you know, we're very, very careful with our money and how it's spent. We do think that this is an important project to the town. It's in the redevelopment plan. It's in our marketing action plan. I think it's a sin to see that property sitting there like that. The property owners are ill. They don't have any funds of their own. If we don't address it, it's just going to sit like that forever because no one's going to buy it with that, and they don't have the money themselves to undertake it. So I feel like we're really filling a critical role right now. This is the perfect example of what a bid should be doing, stepping in where, you know, where there's a need. So that's what we're attempting to do.
I just want to reiterate that the original motion for when that park was talked about, that no money should be used from the mortgage, so to speak, for that property, for the parking lot.
Correct. Actually, our line of credit has expired.
Yeah.
So there's no more withdrawals. So the recent attorney bills that I paid have come out of the bid finances. The line of credit expired on February 24th.
And how is that property going to be purchased?
Based on indications from Thursday's meeting on Friday, if things look good, we are going to immediately apply for one or possibly two grants, Warren County Open Space, which is due on June 30th, so I'll have to turn it around really fast. And then there's another one due on July 30th, and then we'll also look at our internal budget as well as the possibility of going back to the USDA again. So we're exploring many options.
So since the time for withdrawals has expired, then the total loan on that property is reduced by $100,000, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, you know, whatever we said was going to be left, we had started out with actually a $490,000 line of credit. I believe we only ended up at about
$390,000,
exactly.
So the borough only in 5 years will be only be on the take for
$390,000.
Well, it'll be paid down. Right. And the way we looked at the amortization schedule and everything closely with Rich, and actually, at that point, there isn't going to be a cost to the taxpayers either because of the monies had been set aside from the streetscape grant. So again, right?
Not really.
No.
Not that grant. The Van Cleve money.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry for misspeaking. So at this point, you know, hope everybody's very happy with the parking lot. I think it's doing a lot for the businesses downtown. I think it's helping a lot with my recruitment efforts. You can attract and retain a much higher level and quality of business if they know that they have safe, clean, well-lit, paved, striped parking. It's a very important thing to the town, and we also believe very strongly in the park project, and we also understand very much the borough's position right now. So, you know, we are trying to move this forward at no cost to the taxpayers because we feel that they have enough on their plates right now.
Thank you.
A lot of people with their, you know, so Mr. Kresser, I saw you first.
Joe Kresser, 92 Carlton
Ave. Couple things. I'm very disappointed to hear about the audit. You talked about a lot of people thing they were against. I don't know if you people have talked to many people about this garage that we have. I think that should go out there and see what people think about this garage. Some very, very, I don't know any person in town that is happy the way this garage went. Anyone. One person. Almost $3 million is not done. Rich, I have a question about the penalties in our contract, non-completion penalties when you don't reach the date. How much money are we owed on that?
The liquidated damages, that what you're referring to?
No, when you don't, in the contract, right, we have a clause in there, if they owe so much money, if the contract is not completed as of 2009, there's a penalty, right?
I believe that liquidated damages.
Okay, so what are we looking at on that?
I'd have to check off the top of my head.
I mean,
April of last year is when it was supposed to be originally completed.
It was supposed to be completed April 2009,
yep.
Correct? Now, you talk about accountability. Why do we not have that? Terry, this is your project. We should.
What do you?
We know exactly the amount we're owed.
I know the exact amount. It's downstairs. If I would have known that you were going to ask, I would have brought it with me. It's sitting on my desk right now.
But where are we with that?
As far as receiving the money?
Yeah.
Liquidated damages is completed at the end of the project. It's not given from the bonding company during the project.
Okay, so you have an exact number right down.
Yes.
I mean, you could go get it now and we'd know by the end in a little bit.
I really would like to have a written number, not a verbal. It's sitting downstairs.
Great.
Actually, on my computer.
Thanks very much, Rich. If I could get that from you, maybe we could use that towards our friends that got it. The garage is just a really, really bad subject with all these taxpayers in town. And that's a project that accountability. Talk about accountability. Talk about everything. We wasted so much money there. And this forensic audit, the state came in, they did a percentage. I believe it's a 10%. I couldn't tell you. I'm just talking what I've heard.
That was the audit that is done by the auditor we hire.
You're talking about the
comptroller's office.
No, when the state came in.
Yeah, that's the comptroller's office.
Okay.
It is the state.
They did a little more than 15%.
A little more than 15.
And they found 17. I'm looking at you three guys, Victor, because you voted no. Mm-hmm. 17 things on those things.
Right.
So imagine what they're going to find when they investigate everything else that'll help us. Not hurt us, help us. You're shaking your head. You know, this is, we don't need this.
You don't even have to turn to see the look up and somebody's talking there. That's terrible.
I'm done. Ma'am, did you have something?
I wanted to know.
Would you come up to the podium, please, so we can get you recorded?
I'm much like National Backlog Smith.
You may.
Edna on 27 Fisher Avenue. I want to know, first of all, this thing with the garbage collection, are we going to be able to vote on that as a town?
Not as it stands at the moment, no.
Why not?
I don't know that there are any plans at all to put that out for a referendum.
Don't you think that'd be a little fair if we did? I mean, you want to lower the taxes but increase our pocket money, which will happen. It's going to be the same thing as the sewer, and we don't want that. Can we vote on it?
We could certainly have that as a discussion.
Let's have it as a discussion.
Okay. Mrs. Pyle?
I'm an 88 Street. My name is Joyce Pyle. I was going to mention garbage. First, I want to speak to Victor
Cioni.
When I first came to meet, I have been delinquent and not been at meetings. But the first one I came to, all I heard from you is I wanted to close the pool, and I think there was also the library.
I said we should consider the option.
Okay. Then it was changed. And I want to know, I belong to the same organization that Bob Del Elder does. And I had volunteered to go out and solicit funds for the Washington Borough Recreation Committee, because I think that there's people in town, businesses in town and such, that would be happy to donate money, and we did find out that we could do so under this, I forgot the name.
501(c)(3).
No, well, there's an, we have a, something in our, what is it called?
The trust.
The trust. But then I heard that you have a committee that you're going out and had, no, I can't do this if you're going to be doing this, and
right.
Who's on your committee?
It's nothing officially yet. Beth Kaporsky's here. She can give you more details about that. Basically what happens is the idea is to form a Washington Borough Recreation Foundation, which is essentially what they call a 501(c), which is a tax-exempt corporation. Non-for-profit. So the borough as an entity can't go out and solicit donations from corporations and say, hey, you know, Sherman Williams, why don't you donate the pool paint? Or, hey, Home Depot, why don't you donate $10,000 to renovate the grandstand? But as a 501(c) nonprofit, you have the ability to do that. And there's a lot of other things you have the ability to do to solicit funds and donation and volunteer time. So part of the presentation that Beth gave was, and I don't want to speak for Beth because she's here, but you know, there were some recommendations based on conversations that she had had with other municipalities that had pools that were profitable or close to profitable, that she had basically made recommendations in her presentation for the rec committee to decide upon whether they were going to do that to help stem the tide of losses. The other things that she mentioned were donation specific and being aggressive in the donation aspect, and then it was pointed out after the meeting that as a government entity we can't do that. So then the idea came about to establish a non-for-profit. And with that ability we would be able to solicit donations not just for the pool, and I shared this with Mr. D'Alba as well, but for any recreation program, whether it's a new program, an old program, you know, a concept or repairs to the bathrooms or whatever. Basically you would have money set up in that 501(c) to be able to parcel out to, you know, to do those things, to make a long story short. So it, at this stage, it's in its infant stage. We've made several contacts with several people, professional and citizens, about volunteering, and it really hasn't gone too far beyond the planning stage as yet, because Beth's schedule has been chaotic with softball, my schedule's been chaotic with town stuff and t-ball, so now it's starting to wind down a little bit. We should have a little bit more bandwidth, and hopefully we get some decent volunteers, because when we were here, there was a whole room full of people who stuck their hands up and wanted to volunteer to help. So we're still hoping that those people come forward, because that's critical. The success or failure of anything is going to depend a lot on how many volunteers are willing to stick their necks out and get dirty. So hopefully that happens.
Get what?
Stick their necks out and get dirty. Knock on doors for solicitation, donations, those types of things.
That's a funny reference, but
well, you could
I have
plant flowers. You get dirty doing that.
I have an organization that's for the past 40-some years that's nonprofit, so I'm aware of that. But you just don't say, well, we're going to form a nonprofit. It takes time, and I don't know if an attorney has to do it or not, but I know my attorney had to apply for it.
Yep.
I couldn't do it on my own, and this could go on and
what
on
you
and
do
on.
Is the attorney applies for it. You get the foundation set up immediately.
Well, why do you need a foundation? Why do you need another thing? Why can't a group of people who want to solicit funds for the recreation committee for the things that go on without forming another committee? I mean, that could go on and on and on. I mean, that could go on till into the fall and winter and so on. When if you've got people that are interested in doing something, now I don't want to start something and go out and then find out that you've got people going out to the same people. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, again, that's a coordination effort. You have to deal with, you have to work with Beth on that. I don't know, I don't want competing
I don't
initiatives
know Beth
either.
Is.
So to answer your other question, you know, none of us were aware of another organization that was soliciting donations. So, I mean, if that organization.
I haven't started that. I don't dare start anything until I know what you're going
to
do.
Right. So that's why you need to coordinate with Beth. And then we can figure out what's the best plan of attack, so to speak. So we don't want to duplicate efforts and waste anybody's time.
And also, I wanted to mention, I know the garbage was brought up, but the first time I was here, there were four different options or avenues. And then last week, or last meeting, it was down to two. But when it was four, you were going to use time to investigate all four of them to see which was best. Now, we didn't hear anything at the last meeting as to what happened to the other two. Now, what two did you decide?
Last meeting was not discussed. The previous meeting to that was where it was discussed. The four options, one of those options was leave everything as is.
Right.
So there's no discussion there because it's basically people are familiar with the service. The other option that was talked about was purchase a vehicle in-house and have our DPW do it, do the service. So basically, my contention at the previous meeting, not the last meeting, the one before that, was no one's making a decision on this. We're not moving on this. And basically, we have a six-month out clause with the current contract. So that means that we lose money past June if we decide on pulling out of the contract for every week we delay. So we lose any savings we could possibly reap in 2011 every week we pass the June point.
June of this year.
We would have had to execute the six-month out clause the first week of June for a December 31st type of, you know, so that 2011, whatever option we went with, we would reap the most savings. Because obviously, whatever choice you make, the choice is to save the taxpayers the most amount of money and still retain the same service. So if you don't execute that out clause and you don't...
Are you going to?
Well, we're not at that decision yet because council hasn't made that decision yet.
You don't have much time in June.
My point was June passed, June is passing, we haven't executed it yet. No one's decided on what course of action. So at the first meeting in June, I said, we need to whittle this down so we can make a definitive decision. So everybody had to give their two choices of what options, of the four that's been on the website for 2.5 months, which two options of the four they wanted to go with. And then the majority would say, whatever those two, the majority ruled the two options were.
What were they?
The two options were privatize or shared services. Those were the two options. So now it's at the stage where we ask Manager Phelan to come back with numbers on individual providers and what kind of options they would have for waste pickup, basically same service you have today, a la carte options, maybe I need two pails, maybe I need two pickups a week, maybe those types of options, recycling. All of those were provided by the manager in his weekly report so that council has that information. Councilman Boyle, I'm sure, is still working diligently on shared services. So at this time, we're marching towards a decision, but we're not going to make a snap decision until we have all of the facts. And including Mr. Boyle, I'm sure Mr. Boyle is going to, at some point, have some sort of detailed report from Belvedere or somebody else that says these are the facts as Belvedere or Oxford or whoever the contiguous municipalities that currently do their own garbage would provide us.
But you said it had to be the month of June. You don't have much time left in June.
Well, he was just talking about it in
reference to getting it for the 2011 budget,
right?
More so than anything else. With the six-month out clause, excuse me, we would have to do it in June in order to make it effective for the entire of 2011.
Right.
If we wait until July, then it becomes in February, we lose a month, and that's what Mr. Cioni...
Yeah, so any savings you would get, you lose a little bit at a time because you're chipping away at that as you push further into the year. So if we were to say, you know, if we did everything and come January 1st, we have a shared service agreement for $100,000, let's say, with Oxford, right? So that's what our expense is. So if we did nothing, we kept everything as is, our expenses minus tipping fees, because we'd have to pay them anyway, is $270,000. So that's $170,000 difference, right? Every time we go into July, August, September, before we execute that out clause, Blue Diamond's still going to pick up January, February, March. So we're not going to reap that benefit. So that $170,000 savings gets whittled down. So
you have to get busy now and decide this month.
Well, council has to decide, absolutely, based on the information that they have.
Go ahead.
Well, Mrs. Pyle, you're absolutely right, and it's embarrassing that the other municipalities don't share our concern as well for the shared services. Mr. DeLelva spoke about accountability, and I'm trying the best I can to get these guys to even come to the table. I don't know if it's vacations or what. Tentatively, June 19th. Oxford, Belvedere, and the Borough of Washington agree to sit down to try to map this out to get it going. Hampton hasn't replied back. Glenn Garter's never replied, you know. I'm frustrated too. I'm not being disassociated. These things just don't move. And, you know, you don't have the power over the municipality saying, well, we have to do this now. You know, you mean you can tick them off, they can walk away, you can strong arm, they walk away, and then, you know, so. I take it all in mind. That's all about me. You know, we haven't come to conclusion on this. There's no other person that's involved with this but myself. And, you know, well, you know, it's accountability.
I know.
I mean, so, you know, I'm trying. We're not going to make the January deadline, not with shared services.
Right.
No way.
And what happens is if this keeps going on for the year, and if we do nothing, we still have a contract with Blue Diamond, but we lose out on the potential of taxpayers saving a lot of money in 2011.
Well, I wish you luck.
Thank you.
I have a question real quick, Scott, if I could.
Sure.
Mr. Mayor. Is there, actually, it's of the attorney. Mr. Cushing, do foundations have to be established for someone to make a donation to the borough?
Can you speak up just a little bit?
I'm sorry. I just asked if foundations have to be established if someone wants to make a donation to the municipality.
No, but most people kind of grudgingly pay their taxes, so I don't think they're going to convince too many people to give money to the borough. It probably is not going to be tax deductible. The advantage of a 501c3 is that you can get a tax deduction for it, depending on your tax rate. That can be very valuable.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the audience?
Can everybody hear me, by the way? Did I mumble?
I heard you. You have something you'd like to say, ma'am?
I have a question.
Please come up to the podium.
Sure.
My name is Tracy Falknight Johnson, and I live at 95 Lenape Trail, and I'm new, pretty new to the borough. I'm back home with my folks. I actually like it here a lot. I didn't think I was going to, though, because I'm used to living in cities. But I like the borough a lot. I really do. But I do have a concern. I kind of want to know how many of you have actually taken time to walk up and down our main downtown here from, I would say, from the corner here where the Delta gas station is, and probably almost near before you get to, I guess it would be Rite Aid, and actually paid attention to what it looked like. You have a lot of cars that come through, and I'm into aesthetics. I look at everything. I love all the old houses and all that thing here. There's a lot of history here. My concern is that it doesn't always look like it's being taken care of. The young lady here from the Business Improvement District.
On the other side.
On the other side, with speaking, I'm sure she knows what I'm saying. When you talk about you want to entice your businesses or people to come to move into your area, one of the things that they look at a lot of times are aesthetics, how people keep their things, how your businesses are kept, and all those things. And I just wanted to know if council would be willing, I don't know when you're going to have time, to actually take some time and actually, you know, walk, because I walk a lot, walk up and down our main street here and kind of pay attention to things so you can see that the aesthetics aren't the way that they should be. I mean, I know some businesses are doing some things and those are the ones that stand out, but you have some that aren't. And I think with the empty buildings and things, it kind of leaves a bad impression if someone's driving through. And those are the kinds of things they see. They don't really think that, you know, that your area is growing or doing, you know, the things that it needs to do. I did see one commercial, I forget which one it was on cable TV. It's the man who owns the men's dress shop.
Yes, there's going to be a series of those commercials going on that for various businesses.
That was nice. That was really nice. Yeah. But I think that you really should take the opportunity to kind of walk up and down so you can see. I don't know how you decide how you get people to make improvements or do whatever, but that's really important. We have a lot of traffic driving through here every day.
Okay.
I mean, lots, you know, I think it's important that the aesthetics say something, because this is our main, you know, this is the main street out here. That's what people see first. If they're not happy with that, they're not going to drive around and look at the rest of it.
A lot of what you're talking about is part of the reason why the Business Improvement District was formed.
I'm sure.
You know, obviously there are laws and that deal with the upkeep of your property and various things of that nature that we do have on the books and we do enforce.
I'm sure money has something to do with it.
I can't say that I've walked from Rite Aid to the Delta in one shot.
I have.
But I would bet that during the course of a week I make that trip, you know, whether it be by vehicle going through the town or by walking. I do patronize the downtown businesses as much as possible. But, you know, I don't know that I make the trip that you're saying, but we're very well aware of what you're talking about.
Okay.
And the Business Improvement District is very diligent in, you know, marketing the town and making sure that things are as they should be. You know, the parking lot being a case in point. You know,
the parking lot's
you
great.
You can't do everything all at once.
Nope.
You know, but you know, maybe you can go down to the Business Improvement Office one day and have a conversation with them. Maybe even see the redevelopment plan,
a
business plan that they have, and maybe that would help you with your concerns.
Okay, that would work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Delova.
Yes, I have a question. Mrs. Cioni and I have been emailing back and forth concerning that Washington Borough Recreation Foundation that you're talking about organizing. So I know, you know, you're involved in getting that going. Is that a complete separate entity, separate from the borough itself, run by private citizens?
Yes.
And you alluded to the fact that you did have a secured an attorney. So funds for that attorney would be coming from a private citizens group?
Well, the attorney, I'm not going to get into too many details about funds because we don't have any funds yet. But essentially, some of the work is pro bono. So it's really, you know, people that actually want to see the town get better will actually donate their time, their money, their efforts, right? So, it's, you know, we solicited several attorneys, several attorney firms, and we found one that was willing to at least discuss the options with us. So that's pretty much where we are now.
So funding would not be coming from the borough itself?
No funding will ever come from the borough.
You had asked about what we were doing in terms of the fundraising for the pool. I think Joyce explained a little bit, and the one concern we had was that we couldn't get a clear answer as to the funds being guaranteed that they were going to go in one direction and stay there, that they weren't going to be transferred out or used as a slush fund to fill other gaps.
Correct.
That was one of the concerns why we didn't take a forward movement. There's a committee working on that.
Were you satisfied with my answer?
Your answer was pretty thorough. I think we have further discussions to take place because we wanted to know if it was a something from the borough, something concerning private citizens. So that's what
we're looking for. Separate from the borough, separate from the rec committee is nothing. It's a completely self-contained entity.
Okay.
Mr. Delava,
yes.
I'm familiar with 501c3s. And any money that are donated to that 501c3, it depends on how that 501c3 is set up in the bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
What you could do is the trustees would be over that money. And let's say there was a need for girls field hockey. Maybe the bulk of the trustees would decide the bulk of the money donated one year would go towards the pool, but maybe $800 would go towards girls field hockey. You know, that would be up to the trustees of that organization.
But also to your point, the bank accounts could be set up in such a way that you'd have an overall account.
Mm-hmm.
You could also probably have sub-accounts, and this is something we would discuss with the banks. So let's say we wanted to have a dedicated softball account, a dedicated basketball account. So this way, you know, somebody comes in off the street, says, I want to give you a check for $5,000. I only want it to be spent in basketball. The only way you can guarantee that would be to have separate sub-accounts.
Yeah. And those are two different answers. I think what concerns us is that answer, Mr. Housel, and that there was, again, on the accountability issue, that monies were transferred in and out of situations to fill gaps. If somebody's going to dedicate their time and effort because they have a personal commitment to the pool or the baseball or whatever, and make a several thousand dollar donation to that, they want to be assured that it's not a board of trustees making a decision they can flip it anywhere they want, or council or anyone else, but that it's specifically designated that way.
Well, that's exactly what I said. It would be dependent upon how that 501c3 was set up. So what Mr. Cioni is saying is separate accounts would be for separate sports or whatever.
You could have a general fund and
yes.
You could have several sub-accounts.
Yes, no, and I'm aware of that. And
you
can
make a restricted donation any 501(c)(3) that says, I want this to go strictly to,
similar to how,
you know, whatever it is. Now, if you don't make that designation, then the trustees of the,
absolutely,
could do whatever they please.
I'm familiar with the 501.
Yeah.
And thank you.
I
appreciate that.
Okay, I hope that was the answer
but,
to your question.
But, well, again, from the committee's point of view, when they were trying to raise this fund, what they came to the council with was, who do we write the checks to, and how do we guarantee it stays in that account? And that's why the hesitation. So it's not a question about how it operates. It's a question, is this a separate entity from the council? And you're saying it is.
Yeah.
It's a private citizen's organization forming a group, nonprofit, to run Washington Borough Recreation Foundation.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay, is there anyone else? Okay.
Hi, I'm Evelyn Morrison. Good evening, Mayor, Attorney, Manager, Council Person. I hope you've had a good, beautiful day today. I wanted to give you an update on our Education Committee for the Prevention Task Force. We have a workshop called Teens, What's Really Happening? And that's June the 22nd, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Phillipsburg Alliance Church Annex. And that's 260 Lincoln Street, Phillipsburg, New Jersey. And if anybody would like a copy of this, you're welcome to it. If you have teenagers or if you want to come and see what the discussion in the workshop is about underage drinking. Also, we're looking for more members to become involved with our Prevention Task Force, Central, Northern, and Southern Warren County Prevention Task Force. We're doing some really good things. So that's the update there. Now, I have a question or two for you, Attorney Cushion. The first question that I have is, is it the borough a 501(c)(3)?
No.
Okay. Did I hand out on the back of my notes to anyone? No, I haven't. Okay. So the borough is not a 501(c)(3).
No, it's a municipal corporation.
Okay.
I believe it's a different section.
Corporation. Okay. I had a question for you, Mr. Cioni.
Sure.
Where does the liability lie with your relationship to the sport? I mean, in terms of your committee, your foundation, does the borough still have liability if anything would happen during this time? Or will you have the insurance bonding?
Well, we would basically be a pass-through for funds. I don't know that we would actually host any events.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Again, we're still in the infant stage. That would have to be worked out with the attorney.
Okay.
And be, you know, if there was insurance that had to be purchased, we would purchase. Well, the 501(c)(3), I shouldn't speak for myself, purchase it. You know, those types of riders would be taken care of. Agreements, contracts, you know, if we have a website, we want to advertise on that website, then we would have a contract for the advertisements. So, again, we're very much more in the brainstorming phase right now and trying to figure out the structure, the overall, you know, sort of corporate structure we're going to have, who's going to be in it. There's no guarantee that I'm going to be in it or anybody here is going to be in it.
Right. So I commend you on your approach, and I wish you the best, and I no doubt will probably help, as long as I know that I can maybe take over the park one day, right? And then I can create a foundation and then, you know, support the park, right? Okay.
We'll put your name on the list. And
I will. I surely will. I'm here to stay. I'd like to say, first of all, that I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Boyle.
Hello again.
Hi. I knew your face was familiar, but I didn't know how, because the last couple times you weren't here, okay? But I'm glad to be working with you on the celebration of Washington Borough. So that's another committee I got involved with, and they're doing some excellent things. So right now I can just be the gopher to pay my dues till next year, right? Okay. Janine, it was nice to have you at our candidates night. Dave, very nice. Mr. Valentine, Theoni, thank you for attending. Were you there?
No.
Okay, you missed a good time. And I really think we had an impact. Thank you for coming, Rich. I think we had a really strong impact on the results of the vote, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Now let's get down to business, Mr. Cushion, Attorney Cushion.
I don't care whether it's just one question.
No. The last time we had the council, Raj was here. And you mentioned the word discrimination.
I didn't mention it.
The word came up.
He mentioned that he felt he was discriminated against, correct?
Yes, and you used the word discrimination.
I might have, yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you did. Because I'd like you to give me the definition inside of the discrimination parameters. What and how does retaliation fit in?
There is a protection for persons who are retaliated against because of events arising out of some kind of discriminatory conduct under the law against discrimination and also the CEPA, which is the Conscientious Employees Protection Act.
So wouldn't you say that retaliation is even stronger a discrimination than the actual, I mean, they're both bad, but if we're looking at discrimination and on top of that retaliation, wouldn't that be another added issue?
Could be. I mean, it depends.
It'd be a separate issue.
It depends on the facts.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Can I interject for 1 second?
Yeah.
I wasn't at the last meeting, but from what I read, it sounds like a signage ordinance violation.
Yes.
So it's a sign, so I'm not really sure how discrimination even enters into the equation.
Let me just explain the background. Raj.
You should have been here.
Raj.
Yeah.
And it was okay to call him Raj. He has a longer name. Hard for me to pronounce. But he owns a store, has a right as a property owner, has an interest in a store here in town. And he leased the store out to a third party. The third party stopped operating the store.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, the borough changed the ordinances with respect to outdoor lighting.
Right.
He apparently had a wish to reactivate the outdoor lighting as it had been before.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the zoning officer. The zoning officer said, no, the new ordinance regulates your situation. He complained that he had contacted some borough officials and he didn't seem to feel he got the satisfaction that he wanted. And he felt that perhaps one possible cause of that was because of some item that might have come under what's called the law against discrimination, which applies to race, class, race, creed,
right,
national origin, gender, etc., physical handicap. So.
But there have been other businesses that have been denied the same thing. So.
Well, here's how we dealt with it.
Part of his contention, if I may interject, Mr. Cushing, part of his contention was that a business that is in a different zone was able to put a backlit sign up, and he was not.
Okay.
The owner of that business was a white American. As he described him not being a white American, he felt that he was being discriminated against because of that. But there were two separate zones.
Right, the ordinance is for one zone and outside of
regulation. Here's how we dealt with the thing.
Okay.
We immediately indicated that we didn't feel that any type of discrimination was appropriate. We don't believe that the borough engages in that. However, we thought the appropriate thing for him to do was to follow up with the manager, figure out what his options are. You know, the way that you can test the decision by the zoning officer is you appeal to the zoning board, the decision of the zoning officer, and the zoning board hears testimony on the decision. And you can either appeal it on the grounds that it's incorrect or appeal it on an interpretation question. In other words, that the zoning officer is misinterpreting the zoning ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So we told them, go see, as I indicated, there's oftentimes time periods within which you have to do it, and he was to follow up in that regard. So,
okay.
That's where it is.
Thank you.
Attorney Cushion, I love your eloquence. You have moved this whole thing over and not once mentioned that he said he felt he was treated differently. That's the whole thing of discrimination. When you feel, it has nothing to do with what was happening, it's how he felt.
Right.
That's a very important point. Okay.
I agree with you.
Now, I appreciate your attention.
Let me just follow up on that point.
Yes.
It's an important point.
Yes,
and
it
I
is.
I think from the borough standpoint, and any municipal, any government standpoint, it's absolutely vital that accusations of that nature need to be looked into, okay? Because we don't want people coming before us, whoever they are, for whatever reason, feeling that they're being treated differently because of any aspect of their background or heritage or whatever. It's very important. So what we felt, what, at least what I felt, anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's all about our feelings.
Well, not really. What I felt from a legal standpoint was the proper procedure was there's one of two things. Either he felt this feeling was that there was discrimination, or there was discrimination. So the question is there some factual basis for it, other than the fact, as the mayor described it, he may not be a white American.
I am so glad you asked
that question. Hang on, let me just finish.
Yes.
Let me just finish, okay? So the question was there a factual basis for the allegation that he was being treated differently than somebody else who was in the same situation that he was in? So the question then became this. Was the individual that he was comparing himself to and feeling that he was adversely treated as compared to that individual,
mm-hmm.
was that individual in the exact same factual situation as he was? And the mayor alluded to what we suspected was the case, but no really knew for sure at that time because no one had all the facts, was that the individual who was permitted to go ahead was in fact in a different zone which in fact permitted the activity but did not permit it in the other zone. So the question is, were people treated differently, number one? That's the first question. And then if they were treated differently, why were they treated differently? Now, I'm not sure where it went from there. But I can only tell you what the process should be.
I can tell you.
Okay.
Because I think you need to know this is everyone else. Because I was sitting here when Raj gave his presentation, I had an ultimate concern. Because if he felt that he was being discriminated against, I wanted to see for myself if that was the case. I have training with the Department of Justice in community-racial conflict relationships. I came to Rich's office to ask him two questions. What was the application, what did it look like, and give me the number to the community, Department of Community Affairs. I never got that number because he had a meeting, but I did read, and he told me that Rich had told him that he needed to have an attorney when the application specifically said, you may wish to consult an attorney. I went to call Michael Tickton, the legislative attorney for Department of Community Affairs, because you go to the source in any research, and he says, absolutely not. Anything other than a corporation does not need an attorney. So all this time in this recorded session that everybody said, we'll help you, we'll work with you, and he goes in to get help, and he's told this. So I left a message for Rich. That's not the case, Rich. Michael Tickton said, you have to be a corporation. He goes and he secures an attorney, which costs him quite a bit of money, all for no reason. That's a financial injury. Now, you ask me what did I see and why I asked you about retaliation?
I didn't ask you that, but go ahead and tell
me. I'll tell you, because you need to know this.
Right.
I don't like to deal with hearsay, because I'm the kind of person, if you want to know something from me, you ask me, and I'll give you the benefit of my experience and my truth. Rich came after me, not physically or anything like that, just ran. That's when I didn't know. That's what the attorney had told me. Now, it wasn't you, right, Attorney Christian? Christian?
Could be.
No, it wasn't you.
Hang on, I'll tell you.
Be careful.
I'll give you an answer later for that question, because go ahead.
Yeah, you have to talk it over with Rich.
The Zoning Board of Adjustment attorney gave me that.
So you're, what's his name?
Steve Bruin.
Thank you, Scott, because that's who I left the message to. And that's when you said he told me that. I've never heard back from Gruenberg. And then I thought, why did Raj feel that he was treated differently? Because in helping Raj, I was treated differently. And I'll leave it right there.
Well, let me
ever since I came to this town,
I came with my heart on the table, my skills, my talents, my educational background, my experiences, all for the good. So if I'm helping someone who feels he's been injured, and I become injured too, what am I to, for me? What conclusion can I come to? You see what I'm saying?
Actually, I don't, to be honest with you. But let me explain a little bit about the attorney issue. I mean, I'm going to have to give you a little bit of history with respect to embarrassment, and it's important that you hear this.
I read it.
Okay.
But now, if Rich Fallon called the attorney for the Board of Adjustment, why would he prejudice him in bringing Roger's name up when he's making an application? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Can I explain?
Okay.
All right, let's just take it back a step, because I think this is important.
It's very important.
Think about this, okay? The facts, as I understand them, okay, I haven't heard anything.
And we know you may not have them.
I might not. I agree. That's
okay.
Why I put mine on the table so we can talk about it, all right? Here's what happened. When Raj came in, Raj is, as I understand it, not permitted to use the exterior lights because the ordinance had been changed.
Correct.
Okay. Now, you interpreted that somehow, and maybe Raj interpreted that somehow that was because of his ethnic background. I didn't want to go there. It is what it is. But the application that he was told was because the ordinance had been changed. Okay? So if you were to look at the facts and you were to apply the factual situation that Raj was in, which is, you know, formerly his lights were on, now the ordinance says he can't have his lights on. So the zoning officer read the ordinance and said he can't have it. Okay? So factually, that would appear that would apply to Roger, presumably anybody else in that zone.
And is it part of your fact that he was thrown this ticket and his mail was open? Is that a part of your fact?
No, that has nothing to do with my facts.
But that's how he was treated.
Well, okay, that's a separate issue. Let me just deal with the issues that I know about. The law that I know about. Okay.
Yes, sir, yes.
The next step is, and the reason I think I said to Raj when he was here, and I don't remember if I said it or I
We can always get the recording, right?
I understand, and yeah. It really doesn't make that much difference. Because the question that I had for Raj and why I suggested that he go in, and if I suggested he get an attorney, this is why, and if I didn't, this is what I'm thinking. Raj has an argument, okay, that his was a pre-existing use. A non-conforming, pre-existing use that was in existence when the ordinance was passed.
Correct.
Okay? He has that argument.
Correct.
That would require the Board of Adjustment to make a determination as to whether or not that's the case. And the proper procedure, regardless of how anybody feels about why a particular thing is done, is that Raj or somebody on his behalf should go before the Board of Adjustment and make that argument. Now, that argument is somewhat of a legalistic argument.
Yes.
And my suggestion to Raj, if I had grabbed him in the hallway out there, would have been, hey, get an attorney, talk to the attorney about this, and see what you can do. So, I don't remember whether I told Rich that he should get an attorney, whether the Steve Gruenberg did.
You didn't question.
Okay,
you
well,
did.
That's fair enough. And look, I didn't listen to the tape, so I don't really remember
you
what
didn't.
I said. But that was the thinking of the thing. And I think if you went through this whole process, you'd find out that's all there was to it. However, that's all I know, what I heard Raj.
I know. And
so
that's limited.
Yep.
Only because you don't have all the facts. And that's okay, because no one in this room has all the facts. But when we talk about the ethical treatment of citizens, and we talk about ethical decision-making, then that has to be a part of our character. It doesn't change on Tuesday for the sake of Thursday. And all I'm saying is that Bob made some very good points. If I'm in a town and I'm going to be here for a while, then I do plan to be a part of the citizenry that is going to help make their government a lot better, because none of this would exist if it wasn't for these people. None of you would have any position at any place if it wasn't for the electoral. So here we are speaking to the leadership, and we trust that the leadership has a heart, has a sense of self as a unit, not to be manipulated individually on the sidelines, but to be dealt with as a unit. Now, that's all for now. But surely we'll continue our discussion, and we'll continue to make ourselves better And as a result, you will be better too.
Rich, could you please clear the air and explain what was discovered with regards to that piece of mail so that everyone understands there was no wrongdoing?
Certainly.
And then have him ask what he did about me. Okay, ask that question too.
The judge approves the municipal court administrator to open those envelopes and insert the summonses before they're mailed from this building.
Agreed.
So that was done from the judge.
To throw them at him?
Again, I don't know.
You don't know.
No, no.
Okay.
Again.
All right.
That's a separate issue. The question was, how did the summons get in that envelope? That was done by our municipal court administrator with the approval of the municipal court judge. That has been the process here for many years. The rationale is, why mail two letters when you can mail one?
Okay, that's fine. Now ask a second question.
What happened with
Evelyn? Did anything happen with Evelyn?
Yes. I looked up her property tax information.
I'm glad you admitted that.
Why would I not admit it?
Why would you do that?
I've done that for many residents in this
town. But why for me when I'm helping Raj?
And I'm sitting down with you.
Were you hoping that I owned something and I was late in my taxes?
No, absolutely
why
not.
Why did you do that?
I did that for many people.
That's not answering the question,
right.
Mr. Phelan.
But why?
Correct. The answer is because I was curious.
About?
And it's simple.
But you had me in your office just hours ago, before that.
That's not when I looked your information up.
Oh, so it was after that?
No, it was actually before that.
Was it after I spoke with the state?
No, it was before that when you came to the meeting the first night.
All right, that's fine.
This is fine, Councilman.
Let me just explain one thing. Everybody wants transparency, right? People want transparency.
We're not in a debate, as your words are. Let the lady finish what she has to say and let him answer. We're not getting the answers.
He didn't.
Don't whitewash this to go around the back.
Gentlemen, please.
I keep hearing transparency.
Gentlemen.
So guess what? It works both ways, folks.
That's enough, Gary.
It does.
Let's move on. Thank you for that.
Mrs.
Morrison, what is the point of your interrogation here?
It's not an interrogation. I thought it was a common, polite dialogue.
Forgive me if I use the improper term. But
okay.
You're asking questions. I'm just curious as to where we're going. You've taken quite a bit of time
here.
And I appreciate that.
I really do. But it was that important, Scott.
Okay.
It was that important. And we'll talk again.
Thank you. Sandy, you had something you wanted to add to it?
I find myself in a very uncomfortable position as the executive director for the Business Improvement District. I'm here to support and help all of the business owners and the commercial property owners. However, I do feel it's very necessary to state for the record that both myself and Ann Kildoff and Rudy all explained to Raj the procedure if he contested the sign ordinance and the backlit sign. Yes, it is a backlit sign. This is black and white on paper. It is a backlit sign. His business was closed. Whether or not that would hold up in court with the grandfather laws is not up to Rudy to determine. Rudy is a code enforcement. He doesn't make the laws. He's there to enforce them, and he was doing his job, as was Ann Kildoff and myself, who explained the procedure to Raj. I myself said to Raj, and this was the only reason, that if he did have an attorney, he would probably win because of the grandfather clause thing. Right? With these fine ordinance things, and this was months and months ago, we all started this conversation back in October and November. I didn't recommend to him to hire an attorney. I told him that in a court of law with an attorney, he would probably win. That's all I told him. I didn't tell him to hire one or not. What I did explain to him was the procedures in the town. These are the laws. If you want to do something that's not in the current laws, you have to go to the Board of Adjustment. I was late picking up my children to deliver him the paperwork. And Ann Kildoff answered on her own personal time on her cell phone that we made sure we got him all of the information. He never filed it. He never brought it in. He never made the meeting. He has not made any of the Board of Adjustments meetings since then.
I have a
So it's just not the, he did not follow the procedures that he was given. That's all.
Yes. The concern, I appreciate it. Now, does BID have an opening ceremony at Rouge's store?
At Raj's store.
I'm sorry, yes, at Raj's store?
They did. I can answer that.
You were there, but was this?
No, I'm sorry. I was not able to attend. I actually...
No ribbon cutting, no anything.
No.
Yes, there was the ribbon cutting.
Ribbon cuttings and grand openings or reopenings or under new management?
If I may interject, I've heard about enough of this issue, in all honesty. Mr. Rathood has a complaint. He has been informed as to the possible remedies that he can go through. It is up to him to go through those remedies. We are not going to solve the issue tonight. We are not in a court where we're going to argue it any further. And without him being here, honestly, I'm a little uncomfortable discussing it because he does not have the opportunity to make any comments of his own. So as far as this Krauser's incident goes, I'd like to end this now.
Well, the record is in permission to go.
Okay, but there's nothing in writing that we have about that. Mrs. Uporski, you had something that you wished to say.
Thanks, Victor. Covered me.
I hope. I
stole all my thunder. Jack Uporski, Wyoming Avenue. Good evening, everybody. I'm here to give you a status, okay? I just want to sort of set the context for everybody. Since the motion of May 4th meeting to open the pool and follow the recommendations listed in the presentation that I put together, several actions have been taken to open the pool, reduce costs, and increase revenues, and I'll have a little more detail about that in a minute. The recreation director Gary has incorporated the tasks. I mean, he's accomplished many of those tasks, any of the tasks that can be accomplished before the season, pool season opens. He's ticking them away one by one. We're working through them together. I won't report out on those. Actually, maybe I can just say what he has accomplished. I don't think he'll mind. But these are his accomplishments. I want to make sure that that's clear. And I want to, I just kind of want to announce that where and when I'm available to work with Gary and to support him in those accomplishments, I've made myself available. We are working very tightly together. So this is my obligation as a Recreation Committee member, and it's what I've committed to in front of the council to support the park and pool. It also, there's a hidden agenda there. It serves to establish a good communication with the recreation director, and we are together establishing boundaries of the borough departments and this conceptual, currently conceptual, Washington Borough Recreation Foundation. So all of that is laying the groundwork for a future relationship, and Rich, you've been instrumental in helping that as well. So it's not my role to manage the pool or the park or the employees who work there. I won't oversee the money that the budget that is contained in the budget. I don't oversee the revenues that the pool brings in, and I don't have any say in what we spend as a borough. Those are all in the offices of the department, the recreation department. So what I did on May 4th was I provided the council with a list of recommendations for running the pool more efficiently. I did that from a business person's perspective, and I think I was pretty clear about that. I provided the council with a list of fundraising ideas as well. What I did not do was promise that the pool would make money this year. So I want to be clear about that. I did not promise that the pool would make money this year. As a matter of fact, I think I listed a gap of about $14,000. And I think it's unrealistic, and I think Mr. Del Alba even said this, it's unrealistic to expect any business to turn around, this type of business to turn around in a year. But we'll see what happens, because Gary's charging hard on this stuff. So what happened at the meeting on May 4th is the council, encouraged by the recommendations in the PowerPoint and the community evidence of support, I heard it was 100 hands went up, and I was facing this way so I didn't see them, that the council decided to open the pool, and that's happening. What happened after the meeting was that the borough manager did a little research. met with me and the rec director to discuss the recommendations. Very specifically, we drilled in on those fundraising ideas, and what he found out was that, we just talked about this, is that the town can't solicit donations. They can't go out to, well, they can't solicit donations that will be tax exempt, let's put it that way. And so that kind of puts a damper on people who want to donate large sums of money to get anything done. But since there was and at that meeting, Rich, I don't think I'm out of order by talking about this, we kind of talked about how the borough departments would work versus the way this, what we said is we've got to form something, we've got to form a 501 to, in order to solicit that kind of donation and make this sustain for more than, you know, 3 months. So it was a good discussion, and since there was a good deal of hope pinned to this fundraising recommendations, I committed to forming a tax-exempt organization. We're taking action now to create an organization that is sustainable and can clearly maintain a tax exemption status and is relevant to the community's recreation needs. Now, I don't go into such an effort lightly. I'm not looking for, you know, to be here for a year and then be done with it. And I also don't want to see it collapse. There's a very specific local 501 that was formed about a year and a half ago, and it's about to fold because it was very specific in its purpose. It was loosely formed by a bunch of enthusiastic volunteers. Some of them had some business sense, some of them did not, but I give it about another 6 months, and so does some of the, you know, the people that formed it. I understand there's some concern about the lack of activity. Rich had asked me to come and speak about some activity that's going on. What's happening? Also, there is a belief that there's no volunteers. There's no one helping out there. So I'll talk about that, because there shouldn't be any concern. I've spent, since May 4th, I've probably spent 100 hours talking to people. Thanks. I've spoken to professionals who have committed to volunteering their time to do things like fix the bathroom down at the bathhouse, to electricians, to general contractors who are willing to oversee such work in cooperation with the appropriate people in the borough department. I've talked to people who are willing to give money, but they're saying, I'll give money as long as I can write it off. Times are tough for everybody, right? Joyce Pyle, I'm sorry that she's not here because I wanted to give her credit for calling me right after that meeting and saying, I'll go talk to 100 people and go get money from them right away. That's what I do. It's what I've been doing for 40 years. I'll go get it. And I admire her for that, but I didn't have anything for her to dump the money into, and neither did the borough. So I didn't really know how to address that. I'm not an expert in 501s, but I know enough about business to know that if this isn't planned carefully, it will not meet the expectations the town has or the promises that I made. So eventually, this list of volunteers will be tapped to provide knowledge, man hours, or money to support the mission of this foundation, which we are calling the Washington Borough Recreation Foundation. Why is it not called the Pool Foundation? Because what if the pool turns around and becomes profitable? What then? What are we going to dump our money into, right? So I didn't want to limit it to just the pool. I'd like to read you the mission statement that we've drafted and then talk about some actions that have been taken. So the mission statement is this. The Washington Borough Recreation Foundation, through private donations, fundraising, and volunteerism, supports high-quality recreational areas, activities, and alternatives for the citizens and guests of Washington Borough. We promote and support the teams and athletes who represent Washington Borough in the wider sports community and help Washington Borough develop and grow its recreational resources. So as you can see, that's a little bit wider than, let's say, the pool. I'm not going to discuss many specifics about the formation of the corporation because I think that those are best limited to the people that are that will be directors, trustees, etc. I think we have some things to iron out. But for the most part, it is a three-point structure. One point is the management of donors, volunteers, and donations. Another point would be the exit, you know, the spending management, and that would also be sustaining the tax status, the tax exempt status, as well as you know, maintaining audit. You know, this is the record keeping. This is the boring part. Okay, this is the record keeping piece of it. And then the third part is the planning piece of it, the short term and long term goals. This is the work with people who would like to see the money spent, right? So it's a three-point strategy. Somebody asked about liability, insurance, and bonding. We've talked about that. We don't know what to do with it yet. We'll get guidance, but we will be insured. So what kind of things have been... Are there any questions so far from the council about this? You're listening? Okay. I know. I'm between you and a late dinner. So, here's some of the ideas that I had put forth in the presentation. You all got the presentation, so you can see what's left over, what hasn't been done yet. But the work that Gary had to do, or that had to be done in the department or by the borough, is we talked about modifying the trust account management. Done. Swim team contribution, the council did that themselves with a vote that night. Shorten the pool hours of operation, Gary's done that. Extend, starting June 19th. Extend the use of the concession stand to include outdoor sports programs, we've done that. We tried to have our first event, our first concession stand event on Sunday night. It rained buckets. The purchase wholesale foods and bulk supplies to increase profit margin, Gary has done that. So some expense cutting ideas. The other things that are left over are things that he can only do once the pool opens, you know, so he hasn't done those yet. Expense cutting ideas. We talked about getting Home Depot to donate materials to refurbish the bathroom. Victor has reached out. Asking local contractors to install new bathrooms in return for free use. I have to sit down. I'm sorry. I'm not comfortable public speaking, and so...
You did a good job.
Okay, thank you. We've talked to local contractors. I talked about that, to install new bathrooms, electricians. I have electricians on the line. I've got a general contractor on the hook. On the hook is not the way you wanted to hear it, but that's what he is. And other items, Dip and Dance fundraiser. Gary and I have cared for that. That will occur in the end of August. That is underway for planning. Okay. Some of the other things that we have done in terms of forming the corporation are speak with a lawyer, drafted bylaws, worked on some ideas for, you know, advertising and website management. Anything I'm forgetting?
That is, for the most part, I think, structure, trying to get structure around mm-hmm. the incorporation aspect of it. That's pretty much it. I've been working mostly on the website and bylaws and disclaimer, website disclaimer, stuff like that.
So the idea here is to create a good, strong structure, a good foundation, and then move forward so that we're not wasting people's time. People don't have time to volunteer for no reason or to volunteer outside their area of expertise. I'm not going to ask Nick Clone to come and plant flowers. He's a licensed plumber, you know. So, I mean, it's really mapping people's skills. If they want to volunteer, it's mapping their skills to things that need to be done. So that's the work that's been done. And honestly, I mean, Victor said it. We probably would have been farther along, but I'm still fulfilling my obligation coaching a softball team and running the county softball league and working as a committee person. Field hockey starts up. Oh, Gary's not here. And I'll fulfill those obligations and this. Are there any questions?
I have two.
Okay.
Contractors are doing this. You started to say that they were doing it for, some of the contractors were doing it for their volunteer and they're not getting anything out of this? No pool passes or anything like that?
Great.
They're doing it for...
I can't offer pool passes, Dave.
Okay, is Gary offering pool passes to
them? I haven't discussed it with Gary.
Is that an option?
I guess it would be.
You know if Gary's discussed it with them?
No, they have not. He's not.
Okay. Who's the lawyer, if we could know who that is?
Does it matter?
Yeah, it does.
Why?
That's not public information?
No, it's not. It's a private... It's a private organization at this point, and if the lawyer is comfortable with his name being linked to this, then I'd be happy to. So I'll take a note and ask him if he's okay with that. But he's not done anything but advise us so far.
Wow.
I'm just saying I don't know if it's okay to say to say who it is or not. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Sikorski.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
I'm Rachel Simonchi from Carlton Avenue.
I'm just asking.
I know as a whole, but I'm
my bifocals are clean, too. They're saying that these services have to be done up at the park and everything. Why, before VOTEC school gets out, don't you people go to VOTEC, that all of us taxpayers in this borough are supporting the VOTEC school? They have all these trades down there. Why don't you go to VOTEC and try to get these kids out to help do these things at the borough park and around the borough, but use our tax
dollars.
I've lived here for 30 years. And little by little, things go away from us. You know, we've lost our big pickup, okay, for the garbage. I have no idea what it's going to cost us in the future for garbage. Our police have gone. Not that we don't have police, but it's not our police. Our courts are going or gone, whatever. And I'm just like wondering, you know, like next year, what's going to happen? What more can we do, or should we just bite the damn bullet, pay the taxes, and let it go and let us be? It's getting to be stupid, and it's going on too long.
Much of why we're doing a lot of consolidations that we're doing are coming particularly because of the new governor coming in, and I may ask you to pick up some slack here. He has announced that next year there is going to be a hard 2.5% levy tax, cap tax.
Right.
Okay. Our debt comes under the cap, correct?
Right now it's proposed that the debt is outside.
Oh,
the
outside
2.5,
the cap.
Correct.
But as we see our budget going forward, we see ourselves going above that 2.5%. The way to get under that is to take some of these services and remove them from the cap to save as much money as we can so that we can comply with the state law.
Well, how much more can you remove?
Not much.
A few more things, but, you know...
Like what?
There's talk of a road department consolidation, DPW consolidation. Tax collection services are a possibility.
Whoa. What's that?
We have a tax collector. Washington Township has a tax collector. So we may just have one tax collector to do both municipalities. Excuse me.
Does this really save us money? all the shared services stations. Have the police department, did that save us money? Is the municipal courts going to save us money?
Yes.
Even though with the contracts being issued prior to deciding to go to Mansfield, it's still going to save us money?
The contracts being issued, you mean the employee contracts?
Yeah.
Yes, it will still save us money.
How much?
The last proposed that I saw for the court, $85,000, I believe it was.
Savings?
Yes, for next year.
Next year being?
2011.
What budget are we working on, 2010, 2011?
Both.
What are we looking at?
We're always looking forward at our budgets. The way,
yeah.
If the court consolidation comes through, it will give us some savings for this year, but they will be minimal because they probably won't happen before, you know, August or September. So, you know, three quarters of the year will be done by that point. So you really look at it from a full year standpoint, and we figure that next year that's going to save us approximately $85,000 on the 2011 budget. So we're always looking at ways to keep our budget low in the future. You know, we're not just looking at 2010, we're looking at 2011, 2012, and beyond.
We got a plan.
Yes.
Good.
I mean, I wouldn't say that it's a hard and solid plan.
No, well, you can't.
Cannot, does not change, but yes.
Well, I wouldn't want your jobs, that's for darn sure. But I just have a fear that one day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have nothing. And I'm going to be paying a lot of taxes for something that I have no idea what it's all about. And that's after 30 years of being here. So it's just an opinion I have. I don't expect you to do anything. But other people have
Thank
the same
you for sharing
opinion.
Your opinion.
So.
Is there anyone else? Mrs. Morrison.
I only have one thing to say. You have to know that I have 12 brothers and sisters. So being in this type of group, I'm used to the open dialogue, agree or not. So I want you to know that I'm not here as an enemy, but only someone who's going to help to clarify some things. So I want you to consider yourselves my brothers and my sisters. So when we agree to disagree, I look forward to that debate afterwards. Okay? Thank you very much.
Is what we're witnessing, and I've heard expressed throughout the town, is that if the services are the only thing that is being looked at, not so much in shared nature, but in giving them up, where we no longer have an input and say, that next year when they're all gone, or the year after, we will still have the bulk of our debt because of previous bad decisions and bonding issues. We will still owe the money. We will still have to be laying out, but we will have no input. That's the concern I hear from people in town. So you just need to hear that as
sure.
You move forward. And that was why my question last time was, will you make sure you have all the facts before making a decision? Because that may not be the answer. That may not be the only answer. It is an easy one because it's a target. But what do you have left without a long-range plan after everything's gone? No input. And that's what the concern I hear.
Just want to express that. Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, I would accept a motion to close the audience portion.
Second.
So moved.
Okay. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next we have Ordinance 9-2010, the Cable Television Franchise Introduction.
Move Ordinance 9-2010 on introduction.
Second.
Any discussion? A roll call, please.
Harbaugh?
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Reba?
Yes.
Quinn?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Ordinance 9-2010, Cable Television Franchise.
Okay, any discussion on the ordinance?
Move we accept on first reading.
I'll second.
Okay,
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Calzone?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Riva?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Coyle?
Yep.
Ordinance 9-2010, will the public hearing start again on June 24th, 2010, public hearing adoption on July 6th, 2010.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that? Roll call.
Calzone?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Riva?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Coyle?
Yes. Okay, moving on, we have Ordinance 7-2010. Public hearing and adoption. Ordinance 7-2010 is an ordinance authorizing the sale of surplus personal property to the Washington Borough Volunteer Fire Company for a nominal consideration. At this point, I would open up the public hearing on Ordinance 7-2010.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Your second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
I'm saying no.
No, that's on the close. That's
closing. Oh, closing the public hearing.
Is closing. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's Dave.
We have a motion to accept on to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any further discussion?
Yes, these are vehicles that are going to be used by the fire department for
training purposes at the Warren County Fire Academy.
Specifically training purpose for the Warren County Fire Academy.
Correct.
Okay, any other discussion? A roll call, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Valentine?
No.
McDonald?
Yes.
Riva?
No.
Hagan?
Abstain.
Boy.
Yes.
Three.
Okay. Can I make a motion to direct the manager to sell these vehicles for scrap so we can get some real money out of it?
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Does the manager have anything to say?
If this is what the council wants, I can move forward with it. That's fine.
Should I do a roll call on this one, or is voice vote fine?
He's doing on the new one.
Yeah, right.
You can do a voice vote if it turns out that there's confusion as to what the vote is. Then you can do the voice vote. Then you can do the roll call.
Scott, let me just ask a question, and this is to the attorney.
Yep.
If we are going to sell them for scrap, under public law, we have to go out for bids.
Yeah. It's under
$4,350. That's our
the
magic
number.
So it won't
be a problem.
Correct. 10% of the bid.
Calling up those scrapyards.
50%.
Sorry, 50%. We have such and such vehicles. We'd like you to come and get them.
Presumably, he'd call a couple, get some different quotes, make sure his cousin is in the business. So that's why you get a couple of bids.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All against?
Opposed? Aye.
And any abstentions?
Me.
We don't need a new ordinance in order
to do that. No.
We're good just on the motion.
Correct.
Okay, reports.
Move we accept and file the reports?
Second.
Is there any discussion on any of the reports?
Yes, there is. I have a question on the tax collector's report. The very last... The very last item listed in under the revenue feasibility study police department. It's listed as $19,500 for May revenue. Where'd that come from?
Apparently, in 2008, the borough applied for a grant, was awarded a grant from the state, and never followed up with the state to get the money back. The state contacted me 3 months back, saying, if you want your money, you need to submit the paperwork. Didn't even know the grant existed until they called me.
That was a feasibility study grant.
That's correct.
And that was 2008?
Yes.
That the grant was awarded?
A grant was applied for and awarded in 2008.
Okay, anything else on the reports?
Yeah, could you explain the small growth grant and the State Aid Highway Belvedere?
Where are you looking? I'm sorry?
On the same report, tax collectors.
Okay. What's it called?
Small growth grant.
Same thing. That was from 2006?
someone applied for a grant that the state called me at the same time. Said, you have two grants that are outstanding that were applied for in 06 and 08. If you want your money, you need to submit all the final paperwork.
Was that through the Highland
Council? That was for the redevelopment plan. Through the state Department of Community Affairs.
They called
me. They called me. I had no idea those grants even existed. They called me.
This was since 2006. Yeah, one is 2 years old and one was 4 years old.
Right.
So who's responsible for that supposed to be in the follow-up?
I can only speculate. Obviously, I wasn't here for either one of those grants, so I don't know.
The previous manager.
Yeah, managers at those times.
Scott, I have a question on the manager's weekly report.
Sure. I wasn't done on the tax
collection
report. Sorry. Could you explain the State Aid Highways Belvedere Avenue Section 1?
State Aid
Highways. $388,000.
Yes, that was the DOT money for downtown. The Department of Transportation money for the downtown crosswalk. All that
and
work.
This money, what? It was for redevelopment? You put that money, redevelopment?
When it was borrowed, the bond itself says we're borrowing X dollars. We're anticipating that we're going to get X dollars back from the state. If we receive that money has to be used to directly offset that debt, which is what that was.
Okay.
Is that it, Mrs. Sliva?
Yes, thank you.
My apologies for going away from it. Mr. Cioni, you had something?
Yeah, just a quick, if the manager can give a quick recap on his weekly report regarding the amendment we recently passed for the shared services agreement. If you can just give us the cost savings to the borough taxpayers.
You said my report that was in there?
Report, yeah.
Oh, as it relates to the cost,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. For 2010, the original budget for the cost associated with the crossing guards, as it currently stood, was $145,000 per year for all the borough crossing guards. With the amendment that passed, the superintendent of schools and superintendents and the chief of police are reviewing the current number of crossing guards, which is 17, I believe. Is it 17 or 18? I think it's 17. To see if the total number is still needed. Once they complete the review of that, combined with the fact that those employees will now fall under the township's salary ordinance, that 145 starting next year, because this year it'll be halved, but starting next year should be approximately 75 to 80,000 versus 145,000. And that reduction will be in the shared service agreement. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion on the reports? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Do you have any committee reports this evening?
Senior Citizens Committee, we have a meeting next Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. downstairs. And nothing we could do today. DPW is moving along, and they're doing a great job up there.
We're still on the target for our end of August?
End of August, beginning September.
Okay. Okay, hearing no other reports, we'll move on to old business.
Well, we have a ton of, you know, we've been doing lots of work on grants, but I have nothing, you know, formal to really say other than we're all pursuing, the committee has seen the whole Home Depot grant that we're hopefully going to use for the bathrooms in the grandstand. We are, like I said, pursuing that. I met with Beth to talk about some recreation grants, and we're going to meet again hopefully Monday. I'm not going to do it every time we meet council unless I know for certain that we've actually submitted an application. I'm not going to give a status. You know,
that's
just, you know, we're definitely, you know, researching and working, and we still need people if anyone wants to join the committee.
Did you see the email I sent you, I believe, yesterday in regards to a grant?
No, I didn't get an email from you.
I will make sure I send that off to you again. Something
and
that
and Victor, I would contact the chief again now that the election's over.
I did.
Okay.
Okay, and do we have anything to discuss in the old business? And then we'll move on to new business. Resolution 126-2010, we are going to pull because we passed that at our last meeting. We'll do an oversight here, and we go on to resolutions, so we can do 27, 28, 29, all together, since they are all redemption of the tax sale certificate.
I'll move those resolutions.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on any of those? May I have a roll call, please?
Yes.
Valentine. McDonald?
Yes.
Peony?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
That brings us up to 130-2010. A resolution support of preserving dedicated library funding for municipal public libraries.
131 too, right?
I think I'd like to do those separately.
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay. I'll move the first one. Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Any abstentions? Okay, 131-2010, a resolution to protest cuts to the funding to the New Jersey State Library and its statewide programs to public libraries.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this one? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Three nays.
Three nays, okay. Any abstentions?
Yeah, that one's 4-3. Could have put 132 in the first one. Resolution 132-2010, redemption of the tax sale certificate.
I'll move 132-2010.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Malcolm?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
That brings us to 134-2010, adopting a cafeteria plan for health benefits.
So moved.
Second.
Clarification. All this is doing is authorizing the employee to take and use pre-tax dollars to pay the 1.5, correct?
Correct.
It's their choice.
Yeah. Correct.
They still have to pay the 1.5.
Well, right now, unless an employee voluntarily decides to, they don't have to till January 1st, 2013.
Right, but this is giving them the option. Right.
Correct.
Okay. Any other discussion? Let's have a roll call on this one, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, we have a bunch of retail consumption licenses, 135-2010 to 139-2010, which I think we can all do together.
I'll move those.
I'll second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of those? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, and that takes us to 142-2010, refund of the borough sewer service charge.
I'll move resolution 142-2010.
Okay. Any discussion on that one? Roll call, please.
Alvin?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Peony?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Okay. On to vouchers.
Group repair bills?
Okay, is there any discussion on any of the vouchers?
I do, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Higgins? Which one are we looking at?
From the sewer, the other one. The general.
General. Okay.
Let's see here. I have one in that. All right, we'll go. On page 5. Jade Acquisition LLC, you know, it says it's talking about Ray Rice.
Sorry, where are you looking? Page 5?
On page 5. Page 5.
The lawyer.
It's the third one down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep, all right.
Isn't that the planning board?
In this instance, it had to do with the correspondence they needed from us in order to go before the planning board. He put up escrow on borough side as well as the planning board side.
The correspondence, okay.
And that was for the sewer.
Well, this one has to do with the case he has before the Board of Adjustment.
Oh,
okay. Excuse me, before the planning board.
And didn't this come out of the builder's escrow?
Yes, it's all escrow funds.
Okay, page 11. Annual meeting with the assignment judge, $60. What is that?
We have to maintain credits for all of our certified employees. They go to annual meetings where they get credits and meet with their boss in the administrative office of courts.
We voted to approve that a few meetings ago to allow them to do that.
All right. I'm going to look for page 4. Go ahead.
You said what's on page 4?
No. Oh, yeah. Ah, there it is. On page 4, we spent $1,400 for pool supplies. Is the pool going to open on Friday?
According to Gary, it's scheduled to open on time. I mean, he ordered, after the last meeting, he ordered all the supplies.
Okay.
Is that for the whole year, Rich?
No, that's for the month, I think.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, a roll call, please.
Cowell?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McConnell?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Cioni?
Yes.
Cleveland?
Abstain.
What do we have on your list, Mr. Phelan, for a recap here?
Actually, the only issue is to contact local scrapyards regarding scrapping of the vehicles in lieu of donating.
Council remarks. Mrs. Gleba.
I'm happy Father Day, everyone. And I guess I'd like to, I don't know, make a motion, or I don't know what you would do to remove the cable committee. I don't think we don't need that anymore.
I'll second that.
We can do that just by a motion. We don't need to.
Yeah, that was an ad hoc committee. It was created.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, Mr. Higgins?
Of course. Let's see here. Starting out with chipping is scheduled for Saturday.
This weekend.
Are we paying overtime for that?
Yes.
What's that? Chipping.
Chipping, brush chipping, and we're paying overtime.
No.
Okay, that was a...
Cut out over the weekend.
Well, is that what that means?
People put it out.
Because it says on the calendar, chipping this weekend.
That's right. It means put it out over
the
weekend.
Put it out.
Collect it that following week.
Last year we had to have some guys come in on the weekend because it was too much.
Okay. All right. Has the leak at the park been found yet?
No. Spoke with Gary on that earlier this week.
I asked if the leak at the park has been found yet.
No. Gary and I met with representatives from New Jersey American Water. Can't find it yet.
Are they continuing to charge us for that?
Well, New Jersey American Water is going to charge us, yeah.
This is 2 months. All right, the next question I have. The pool, how's the pool getting filled?
Fire department.
They know it?
Gary said he reached out to the fire department.
How are they going to do that? With the hydrants?
Yes.
Does anybody know how many gallons that pool takes?
A lot.
That's not the answer I'm looking for. Does anybody
know? It's a lot of water, and the bottom line is in order to get it open, at the time, due to the delay, the only way to get it open is to have the fire department assist us.
Just so you know, that the New Jersey American Water Company keeps 500,000 gallons of water in their tank. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to have to notify them to turn the pumps on. Mm-hmm.
We spoke with Representative Woman Madam last week.
Oh, shit. All right, I already asked about the attorney. Let's see here. Can you follow up with... Superintendent Rosa to find out if in fact the cuts that he gave us are the cuts that he made in his budget?
Sure. Dollar amounts.
Mm-hmm. He did make them according to correspondence that I had from him based on switching over to the state health benefits.
If he could, if he could just send that to us, I'd like that. All right. Do you know if the decking has been fixed at the pool?
The decking?
You're
talking about the crack?
The concrete?
Yes. That was filled in last fall.
All except one was filled in last fall.
Yeah,
the,
I'm sorry, Dave.
CFM?
I thought you were talking about the decking of the grandstand.
No.
CFM, I believe, was there. They came out, they repaired them last year. They said they extended the warranty through the end of this pool season to see if the patch fixed. If the patch isn't fixed, they're going to do the complete replacement.
Okay. Has anybody been downtown to see the sidewalks downtown? Like out in front of Lost Ladies, you know. I was down there for the car show. those sidewalks are horrendous. They're peeling, they're flaking, they're terrible. They're going to have to be replaced within a couple of years. Somebody needs to get down and take a look at that. And are we still, do we still have a performance bond from those people?
Who performed that work?
Berto.
That was prior to me.
Berto, right? Berto.
No, you guys threw him off the job.
No.
Berto, the one that was thrown off the job?
Marbeck.
No, Marbeck.
Marbeck.
Berto actually did a good, well, again, they didn't give us anywhere near the aggravation of Marbeck.
Most performance bonds are only
maintenance bond, are usually good for 2 years.
I could actually attest to what Dave's saying around the Midtown crosswalk. Specifically, I noticed it was really pocked and flaked really bad.
Terrible.
No, not that bad.
I know this might not be an appropriate place to say this. I don't know if it is or if it isn't. I don't even remember the guy's name, but who came and wanted a tax break all the way back to taxes that he overpaid since 92. Is that straightened out?
Yeah, I sent council that information this week, as well as the resident.
It was in the manager's report, right?
Okay.
It was in a couple of attachments to that.
Yeah, we
issued an opinion on that statement.
All right. Are we going to get an updated ledger, so to speak, like a check ledger, you know, that what we've gone through for the budget? You know, we've taken money out of the library.
You want a list of all the cuts that council's made today?
Yes.
I can get that, sure.
Okay. Please, and where they came from. Let's see here. I have a question for the mayor. Where did road department consolidation come from, and when?
It was a while ago that I believe Washington Township said to us that they were willing to talk about that. Was that early this year?
No, that was a rumor that was started by somebody in Washington Township.
Right, Pete.
He said the name, and they put my name into that because I was at a shared services meeting about garbage. And somehow it evolved into that. So there was no formal discussions. I believe you were having your baby?
Yeah.
Your wife was?
14th is when it
when that all took place. So that was squashed then. There has been no formal discussion on that whatsoever.
Okay. And I know I did have an informal discussion with Mayor Aldasani about the potential of that quite a while ago.
And are we going to set a date that we can actually do something with the garbage? You know, discuss it, come up with a plan, time is running out, whatever's going to be done needs to get done.
Everything's on the table. It's really up to council to make a decision, whatever they want to do.
Shall we put it on the next agenda?
Well, I think, you know, in all fairness, Patrick is meeting on the 19th, but I think, yeah, it needs to be on the next agenda.
Yeah, I would think.
Put that on there, then.
Me, personally, I would want to see that option exhausted to the point where, you know, cut bait. You know, basically, look, if we need to move forward or we're not going to move forward, just let us know, and then we go from there.
And Mr. Boyle, if you need more time, for some reason, I think we can take it off and move it to another meeting if you feel necessary.
That's all right. I mean, that type of program should always be on the table, I mean, with recycling or something.
Okay.
So we'll just try to keep that door open. You know, I'll work very hard to make sure those boys in those other municipalities hear us.
Do you have anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Yeah, I would like to say one other thing. I don't know where it's coming from, but I believe it's coming from members of this council, and along the lines of discrimination. If somebody wants to call me white trash, call it to my face, please.
Mr. Boyle.
Yeah, I just want to apologize for my rudeness to the mayor and Councilman Housel, but since day one I was on this council, that the only thing I thought I could contribute was to the individual resident. And from what I heard, I didn't care about the sign being backlit or anything of that nature. I really think the content of the concerns was how people are being treated. And that just does not sit right with me, and they have every opportunity to talk about that. Forget about rules of order and things of that nature. But I should not have challenged you that way. You know, I should have more reserve for that, and I apologize for that.
I assume that's it for you, Mr. Boyle.
That's it.
Thank you. Mr. Valentine.
No comments.
Mr. Scioni.
just that I've been working with Beth and, you know, anybody else that wants to contribute for the potential formation of the 501(c) for the recreation facilities in the town.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Hauser.
I, too, would like to apologize to Mr. Boyle and the mayor. I thought we were getting to the point where it should actually almost, if there was a complaint of a personnel matter or personnel nature, that it should actually have been handled someplace else. And it, and once again, it became more of a debate than anything else. Public record is public record. And I believe, you know, people are fine to ask open requests for us, but, you know, when it's on the other shoe, the shoe's on the other foot, then people get uncomfortable and they question why. Anybody's welcome to come into the tax office or anywhere and look up information on any lot and block at any time. Congratulations to the primary winners. You have a did a good job, and you have a road to travel in the November election. So good luck, and hope everybody observed Flag Day yesterday. Very important. And if you do have flags, remember, please take them to the that need to be disposed of properly. Please take them to the American Legion or Veterans Affair, and they will be glad to dispose of them properly. And that's it.
I believe Boy Scouts also take care of that.
Okay.
I have
Can
nothing.
I go back to one more thing for me, please?
Sure.
The garbage is going to be on the next meeting, so we have an absolute concrete number of currently what taxpayers pay, how much of their tax bill goes towards garbage. We got some approximate numbers at one meeting, and it was approximately, you know, $300. So I want you know, more of a definitive number looking at these costs that you provided. Because
the hard part of that is it varies from house to house based on your property assessment.
But I
can come up with averages, but every property value is different.
Yeah, because the numbers
so
you gave us weren't for me.
I mean, you could take the total.
Go that way.
Janine, you're basically looking at the total number of households and divide the contract figure per year plus the tipping fees per year and just divide that out.
Right. Thanks.
Well, actually, you take out what it is that...
But that's the same number.
It's $340,000, which is the cost of the contract to pick up, and which breaks out $170,000 in tipping fees and $270,000... or 440, whatever it was.
442 and change?
Divided by...
There's about 2,485 properties, I think it is.
Again, only if we're going to make some kind of...
But again, that's just going to be a ballpark.
I want to have more.
Every property is different.
Okay, and we have need for an executive session tonight, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In connection with...
Contract negotiation.
Contract. Okay, so I would accept a motion for resolution 133-2010. We're in the session. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Thank you all.